This is Eric Leighton.
Hey, Eric.
Hi.
How's it hanging?
It's doing all right.
Yeah, good.
And he's a wildlife specialist.
Yeah, wow. Master gardener with the Cooperative Extension, Cornell Cooperative Extension,
right.
Out of the Hudson office.
Of Columbia and Greene counties.
Yes, ma'am.
There's a Hudson office. Where is it?
It's just off of Route 66. Out of Hudson on the right side.
Oh, you know, Ellen wouldn't like that because that's not really Hudson.
Just before fishing game.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, that's Greenport.
When I see Greenport, I calls it as I sees it.
Well,
know?
There you go. You speak truth to power, Ellen.
So they say.
Okay. Do they? Really? They've said that about you?
No.
Okay. No, you have to.
stop talking about me, Tom. We're talking about wildlife today.
Okay. And we're talking about wildlife in an urban setting.
That's right. By way of explanation, I live on the south side of Hudson. Hudson is 2.5 square miles. It's near the correctional facility, which is a big expanse of property. And it's up on a ridge, and there are woods around my house, my little house. Tom lives on the opposite side of town.
Well, not quite. I live to the east of you.
Okay.
Yeah.
But also near...
Also on the fringe.
On the fringe.
We both live on the fringe of where the...
Of the correctional facility.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Yeah. But you're on the fringe of the city on
right.
The east side.
There's forest behind me, sort of.
And you have all kinds of animals up there, too.
Oh, yeah. And no fences, so we get everything in the backyard, front yard, everywhere.
We all have deer, of course.
Lots of deer.
Deer are they're ubiquitous. There's no doubt about that.
Right. But recently, I think I told you I had three raccoons were caught. One was in my basement. We have deer all the time. I saw a rabbit today, and my cats love that stuff. The bird population has been down because of my cats, I regret to say.
But Ellen has been in a panic since she heard there were fishers in the area.
Oh.
Would you like to speak to that?
There's all kinds of animals in the area that are... In terms of just general wildlife experience, humans and wildlife coming into contact, you know, we're actually in their living room, truth be told. I mean, couple hundred years ago, there were no animals.
Here we go.
But having said that, you know, humans are here. We're here to stay. And maybe questionable at this point. But a lot of the apex predators that these animals had to deal with are no longer with us. So they have a perfect environment, no top predators after them, and lots of food, lots of places for them to hide and get shelter. So it's the perfect storm. Deer particularly are so well adapted to living on the fringe between, you know, woodland and open field. And every time we cut down woods to build houses or stores, we've just created a perfect environment.
Right.
And as I mentioned, limited predators, natural predators, and culturally speaking, we don't have as many people hunting anymore.
Right.
So that's also an issue. And some areas, of course, are more affected by this than others, but we certainly in New York State have this difficulty.
You know, when city dwellers come up here and they first see the deer in their side yard, they think, as did I, oh, how beautiful, oh, how nice, isn't this wonderful, until they try to plant a garden. And the woodchucks, I think, are worse than the deer when it comes to eating flower gardens and that sort of thing.
So I've read this before, actually, about how you know, human encroachment on the environment has changed the whole balance of us and the animals. Can we sort of counter that imbalance? I mean, do you think it makes sense to weed out certain populations?
No, bring back the predators.
Well, we are the predator. In the case of deer.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, there's a... I guess that's a... You can answer that in a number of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the situation we have human population and animal population in conflict. So probably listening to us here today, as this being a topic of interest, would be, well, how do I manage this in my own experience? So we can kind of look at it on a kind of a continuum. There's on one side of the continuum just tolerance, like they're here, they need to eat, we share this space, what can we do to just simply live with this? In my case, I live in Albany. I have property here in Columbia County, but I live in Albany. I'm plagued by squirrels. I mean, squirrels are eating my garden. They're all over the place. So there's a certain amount of, I have to have some patience with that.
And Ellen, Ellen's like the character in Little Abner, the grandma. She comes out with her shotgun. Double right. barrel shotgun and just get out of here, critters.
Well, you know, it's
well, I do yell at them a lot.
Right, right. That's
try to make noise, clap my hands.
And that helped. Like, so that's,
sometimes they move.
Then that's moving up the scale. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to live with them. I'm going to scare them away. Or maybe I have my dogs out and they chase them away. Or the
a cats barking
away.
Dog.
A barking dog. A lot of the critters that we might be concerned with, the deer, the squirrels, the skunks, things that, you know, they are all protected creatures. So, you know, if one is going to capture them or hunt them, we have to do that within the scope of the law.
Ah.
So that, of course, you know, capturing and or removing slash killing an animal requires one to operate within the scope of the law. And that would be more.
Didn't know that.
So that's important to think about that. You know, a skunk, for example, you can move a skunk, but I don't know if you'd want to. You might want to call a nuisance wildlife specialist who can kind of do that without.
Yeah,
you know,
they just drop a blanket over the cage once they've got them in there.
Yeah, there's little tricks of the trades to actually doing that. But I would challenge people to sit, you know, as we're thinking about a quote unquote problem with animal wildlife being around, I would ask, where is it? Where can you give in some of this in this situation? If I'm planting a garden, can I tolerate some of my plant materials being eaten? Should I plant a little extra this year? You know, I know that was the case in my garden. I planted with a lot of extra sunflowers just to give the squirrel something to do, so they would ignore some of the other, you know, other produce and stuff that was in there.
Did it work?
It did. I mean, you know, they decimated a little of everything, but they really attacked those sunflowers. So I gave them something to do. I think I was successful.
Kept them busy.
My next door neighbors have set up a compound, like a concentration camp with fences everywhere and lights that go off if any animal intrudes. And no, I made that part up, as you know. But they don't get deer anymore because the fences are as high as can be. I'm sure they must still get squirrels, though, right?
And the fencing is a great idea, particularly with deer. You know, deer, they will just go through and
they can go over.
They will eat arborvitae bushes. Mm-hmm. They'll eat your garden. Mm-hmm. They'll eat everything. And a fencing and certain trees, they'll just go through it. So
how
fence really,
high does a fence have to be, though?
I think, you know, 5-6 foot fence is about right. Yeah. 4 foot, they're going to jump over that easy. You know?
Turkeys can get on 4 foot.
Yeah, no problem. It's the smaller critters.
You put, like, barbed wire and broken glass on top of it.
So that's, that would be, I'm of the mindset that if you can sort of live with it a little bit, that helps. Mm-hmm. As far as some of the, what maybe some might consider nuisance animals, like the skunks, for example, that are coming through, mm-hmm. you're like, whoa, I really don't want that guy hanging around. Mm-hmm. Probably just being mindful of the food that might be out there. Our human food, trash, is mm-hmm. it covered kind of a deal? Is it left there over a long period of time? That would be a big one. Also, habitat. Are things being left in the yard? This comes into play a lot with snakes. Not that we don't have a problem with poisonous snakes in this neck of the woods. We
That's
do down south. Right?
Good news, Alan.
We're pretty good with that. Yeah.
Hate snakes.
So being mindful of, you know, tall grass or leaving kids' toys out. Mm. That's something that people should be aware of as far as, like,
why kids'
habitat.
Toys? They go after kids.
They like it. Well, you know, they like to get into
Slide.
Little nooks and crannies because they're hunting.
Right.
They're looking for the mice and the voles and all that. So just a little bit of environmental awareness, I think, goes a long way.
And
bird
seed is
friends.
Very attractive.
Well, as I was telling you earlier before you came in, my wife put out bird seed for the first time last weekend and went out there and there were two deer munching away.
Munch, munch, munch.
And, you know, I tried to make noise and they just looked at me the way dumb deer do.
Mm. I've tried barking out the window.
Can you hear that?
A very good.
Can I hear that?
Well.
Come on, just one.
No, I'm shy.
Okay.
Oh, well, there we go.
Oh, that's pretty good. I like that.
No, you know what?
Go for a larger dog. Go for a German Shepherd.
You know what they do? They look at me and say, why is that woman trying to bark like a dog?
I hear you. You know, speaking of sound, Ellen did mention to me before coming to the show that you were interested in maybe finding a website with some of the animal sounds. And
you were?
Coyote.
Oh, because you're on
the difference between a coyote, a coy dog,
a coy dog? You mean one that's sort of
you walked right
no,
into
there
it.
Isn't there is a there's a, an animal that's a cross between a coy and a dog.
Oh, okay. Coy dog. The one web resource that I found was soundboard.com, and you can put a search in for animals. Soundboard.com. I did find that there was every animal you could imagine, including elephants and orangutans and all that. So probably not as helpful for listeners here, but certainly a resource, a starting point. I'm sure that with a little bit more of a patience and a Google search, you probably could line more with more sort of local wildlife, you know, birds and things of that nature. But I didn't find that particular resource very keyed into our wildlife in this area.
Well, we, my neighbor and I looked at some site. I never did get the name of the site from her, but we listened to the difference between a red fox and, not a mountain lion, a bobcat and a coyote. And they're all kind of close.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's when I first came up here, I used to hear this sound in the middle of the night that I thought was an injured animal. It was just this kind of, I won't try to repeat.
Oh, please do. Please.
Oh, we were both waiting.
Please.
I can't possibly do it. But it's this sort of hollow sound and it's just, plaintive sound. Hmm. And it turned out to be, I think, the red fox.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
It's nice to see them. I've actually, as I've traveled around the highways and byways, I've been seeing more fox, which is interesting.
Compared to our little urban concentration here, does it, as you go out into the county more, do you see more things that you wouldn't see here in Hudson? More critters?
That's a good question. I think maybe a different cast of characters. Mm-hmm. Certainly, you know, I spend a fair amount of time in both urban, suburban, and country. I have, like I say, I have property in Old Chatham, so you see a fair amount there too. Definitely from the road, you're seeing deer. Mm-hmm. I myself have not really found that deer come into the 2 mile, 2.5 mile square radius of Hudson. I haven't seen that. Have you?
I've seen them on Union Street.
I'm sure.
Come in 9G and you'll see them waiting at the traffic light.
Oh, is that a fact? Yeah. I haven't personally, but I don't doubt it for a second. Yeah. They really do want to have that retreat point where they can get it kind of where you were talking about.
That's why they like
prison.
My house.
They love that.
Because they start at the prison, come across, hang around my house, and then there's woods behind us. So they can sort of stop, have a meal, and go up to the woods.
They love to be able to just turn around and if they see a danger, disappear into those woods. You know, you see that white tail go up and they're out of here. So they like that marginal environment.
We've even had black bear in Hudson.
Yep. More rare, but you know, it goes to that same thing I started when we were talking about. It's like we're encroaching on their lair. And, you know, and the more we do that, the more we're coming in conflict with them. And that's not something that's endemic to here in Hudson or New York. That's happening in the world. You know, the rainforest is a perfect example of that. But
what kind of population of black bear is there in the county? Are a lot of them out there?
I wouldn't say a lot. I don't know the exact number. Yeah. I can certainly get that number to you. But
I mean, they are tracked.
They're definitely here. Whether it's a lot, I think that's a relative term. I would probably put a lot like that descriptor on something like the Adirondacks. Mm-hmm. Just because they tend not to be on the marginal. They really do want to be in the woods. That's where they have that run of the.
We get one about once a year.
Yeah. Well, it was last year.
It was last year.
It was down the street there in the backwoods behind my house. It was coming up that alleyway. Now, you know, Hudson, I was thinking about this the other day because Hudson requires city-marked garbage bags to put on the street, and everybody complains that the animals come and tear them open. No one seems to understand that you could tie that bag and put it in a garbage can and still work in terms of the city.
Great point, but that makes total sense, but, you know.
I learned the hard way, that's why, because I woke up and there was like a that leftovers of a banquet in the middle of the street in front of our house.
I wanted to mention one thing too, because I'm very, it's a little bit off the subject, it's related, but composting. I'm a big believer in folks, even yes. in urban settings, really taking their food scrap mm-hmm. and creating a compost pile. It takes it out of the waste stream.
I get endless scrap from my wife about
composting. Is a great thing if you want to have a little garden or whatever, putting the right items in there, but also being mindful of the animals around. Mm-hmm. So if the skunks are raiding the compost pile, might want to think about a different solution for your compost pile. Not to get rid of it, but maybe one that's more enclosed as mm-hmm. opposed to just a pit. So there's lots of resources at the Cornell Cooperative Extension, and I invite anybody that is wanting to get additional information about anything that we spoke about to actually call the office. It's 828-3346 here in
I did a little experiment, during the heavy snowstorm months, the top of the compost thing blew off. So I kept looking for footprints around it to see if they'd gotten there. No one actually did. I guess it was so cold they couldn't smell it as well or something. I don't know. But it's about this high or whatever.
It's a great thing to have.
You compost, Ellen?
No, I started composting when I first came up here, and it attracted animals. That was the result.
So. Different solution, Ellen. I would encourage you to think about it. It's certainly a great solution. Just want to make sure that it's set up right to not invite our little furry friends and for a little feast.
Yeah.
So how do you know if one of these little critters does have rabies? Because you may have missed the story we were talking about. Police came to my in front of my house a couple months ago and shot a rabid skunk.
Very easy. Rabies and distemper, usually the animals are acting erratically for them. Okay. So, for example, I can remember very clearly, probably 15 years ago, driving over in Hillsdale, came up on the road. There was just a raccoon just like walking in circles in the road, just literally walking in circles, clearly had rabies or distemper probably. Yeah. And they're going to act strange. Most animals, when they see you, they want to get away from you as fast as possible. They have no desire to be around you. And if they're hanging around or they're acting strange, probably a good indicator for you to just back off a little bit and give them the space they need.
Do they have an inclination to attack if they're rabid?
No. They're out of their character, mm-hmm. so they have an inclination to act out of their character, which is to attack. So that's why I would say back off. Get out of the area. They're not friendly. They're not there to help. They're just let them do their thing. That would be the best advice I could give to a person that came across an animal just acting strange. That's probably something's wrong.
Last year, an owl came in the daytime and sat in a tree for hours and hours and hours. And somebody said, he's casing the joint and he sees two big juicy cats running around.
No doubt about it in my mind. That's probably exactly what a raptor would be doing, just kind of hanging out and watching the activity.
Yeah.
Do owls kill cats?
They can.
I suppose it would despise the species of the owl and the size of the cat. But if it's walking, owls are meat. They get critters. So certainly wouldn't be something I would say would never happen. But probably, an adult cat and an owl.
Two pretty
they
big
hunt at
cats,
night.
So... I think they might destroy that.
They'll give them a run for the money in any case. Yeah. Owls typically hunt nocturnally, so they might have just been kind of.
That's why
out.
It was strange to see him sitting there.
Yeah. You'll see him. It's been so nice, actually, to see the resurgence of so many birds of prey. And a lot of the wildlife that I didn't see growing up here in the 80s, a lot of turkeys that we see now. There's been a real increase of...
The spot, of course, the street where the prison is, where I live, sometimes there's, what's the word, a gaggle of wild turkeys? What are they called? There must be a word.
Flock.
A flock?
Chickens are used. It's a flock.
Yeah, there's different names. A kill of crows. All those old kinds of names. I don't know. Yeah.
But there's tons of wild turkeys there.
Yeah, there's tons. They really have.
Where do they go when they're not out? I mean, where are they in the winter?
They're around. They perch. They're just bopping around, trying to get food just like all the other critters there.
They don't move to another area or anything like that?
Migrate? No, not like geese. No, you won't see them bailing away. Because you see them. I see them regularly in the winter around here.
Right.
you know, the turkeys are pretty prolific.
It's so funny to see them try to fly up into a tree. I mean, they do it and they make it. You think they're not going to, but they're so awkward.
Sort of like me getting out of a chair.
It's like the bumblebee.
Or off the couch.
You look at the bumblebee, and it really, if you look at the law and you investigate it in the laws of aerodynamics, you think that thing can't fly, but yet it flies.
Yeah,
it's a strange thing, you know. It just does.
But now bats.
Bats are interesting.
Bats are very good to have around.
Wonderful creatures. They are really great. They can carry rabies, so you got to be careful about that. They're mammals. And they do a great job of insect control. They need to be respected. Sometimes they fly where they don't belong.
Like inside.
I would say to the average layperson, if you have a bat inside or a number of bats inside, that's probably a job for a professional, because we don't know what their status is, and we certainly want anybody to get bit, and also don't want the bat to be hurt. But they tend to be, at least it's been my experience, sort of anecdotally, they're really, there's not a whole heck of a lot of bad contact between them mm-hmm. and human beings. I haven't really seen that.
No, they have radar, don't they?
They have sonar. They send out a sonar, and they can find exactly where everything is, and they do it fast, and it's just amazing. I had the opportunity years ago to live in Austin, Texas, where the largest urban bat colony exists in the United States. And they would take off every night when they were there underneath the Congress Avenue Bridge. It was like it was like a cloud of bats. They were tremendous. We don't have those levels of bats around here.
We have blackbird migrations, though, that are absolutely incredible. They all land in the trees behind my house and make this big sort of canopy, and then they chirp away, and then they're totally silent, and they all take off at once. And I wonder who's the head bird that tells them someplace in there is the head bird. But the solution to bats in the house here in Columbia County is to go to the dollar store and buy a butterfly net that you can get for a dollar on a long, like 6-foot bamboo pole, and you can capture the bat in the air or on the wall or whatever, or at least knock it down to the floor and put the butterfly net over it and somehow managed to get it out of the house.
That seems reasonable. I would just ask people to just be mindful of just being gentle with the creature. You know, that's really about the only thing that I would be careful about having people do that, you know, collect them.
Right.
But you have to get them out. I mean, if the bat's in the house, the bat has to. Just leaving the windows open and giving them a chance to get out is one thing, but certainly the butterfly net strategy wouldn't be a bad thing.
I had squirrels come down my chimney once into the fireplace, and there are glass doors in front of the fireplace, and somehow this one squirrel managed to squeak out under the glass and started flying around and knocking lampshades over, and and I finally decided if I just open the door, because he wants to get out more than I want him to get out, and he somehow sensed the air and just went out.
Absolutely. They want to get away from us as quickly as possible. They have no desire. It's usually by accident that they come in contact with us. So just to be mindful of that, I think is really what, if I could leave anybody with that kind of a thought, is just respect them. They live here too. They have needs. They need to eat. They need to have shelter. And they're, I think, you know, trying to do their best to live their little life. And, you know, if we can live with them, in a way that makes sense, then you know that would be the best solution.
They're
sounds
such
like
fun
my
to
wife.
Watch.
She has needs. If I can figure out a way to live with her, it works out.
But the other thing about the wildlife is that they're wonderful to watch and they're beautiful to look at. And I think I don't want them to go away because of that.
Mm. That's a wonderful sense. I totally agree with that. I mean, they're beautiful. I mean, I love to watch deer ambling around in the field, and they're magnificent. You know, like I was mentioning, the turkeys or even the birds of prey, they're fascinating. And it's just that balance, that deer's balance, is a little bit out of sync, and that's why they're a problem. You know, if I put the air quotes around the word problem, only because they're in places that they weren't traditionally or shouldn't be because we're here.
Right. Well, thank you so much for filling us in. And
my pleasure. Anytime.
We've been talking to Eric
Leitinen,
who is a master gardener from the Cornell Cooperative Extension of Columbia and Greene Counties. And if people wanted to, do you have a website?
Gosh, it's funny. I came with the number, of course, is 828-3346. You could just Google Columbia County Cooperative Extension, Hudson, New York, or actually the Greene County is in Acre, New York, and it'll come right up.
Great.
The long web name I don't have. Yeah. It's Cornell dot blah, 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 you know.
And they're very helpful. I would take them a leaf off my catalpa tree because they identified it as some kind of wilt. It's still standing, and it's been several years. We had to fertilize it and do all kinds of things.
There's all kinds of resources available to residents, and it's just a great resource. I encourage everyone who has any questions about whether it's wildlife, gardening, beekeeping, just anything related to agriculture.
Beekeeping?
Anything.
You keep bees, don't you?
No.
Oh. What was that big hive in your backyard? Around.
There are no hives in my backyard.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate your interest.
There we go. Our own little Wild Kingdom segment.
Yes,
Ellen.
Indeed. What happened to the music you
were
looking for?
We never heard. What about these fishers that we had all these
fishers.
Questions about?
How do you spell the animal that is called a fisher? F-I-S-C-H-E-R,
I believe. Wait, let me think about that for a second. I think it's C-H. I have to look it up, though. I don't know.
Yeah,
I think it's with the C.
People tell me, I've never seen one, but people tell me they are violent and cute, like a gopher.
A wonderful combination.
Yes, right. They're like a little gopher, kind of.
Interesting. I have never seen one in the wild.
You have?
Boy, there's one in the studio now. My goodness, where did he come from?
Where he just walked in the door. Who's that lion on the floor?
You're right. Very cute and very ferocious.
Get him out of here. Help.
Anyway.
I told you to stop cutting down those trees.
Well, thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.
This is the Thursday Afternoon Show with Ellen Thurston and Thomas DiPietro today.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. And we've been talking to Eric
Leitinen.
Leitinen.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in, Eric.
My pleasure. Anytime.